Extracts from File Interviews, the Afterlife Employment Bureau. Subject: Eve. Topic: How I Began My Career. My death wasn't that memorable to the greater world, although obviously to me it was. A violent end, no witnesses, no murderer caught, a police file closed a few years later. Some grieving relatives and one or two newspaper articles, the only aftermath of that dark night on February 13th, 1930. My parents later wondered why I was out so late that night, why I hadn't just taken the tram home after work like I was supposed to. They never saw the answer. The rather tall, thin man who came to my funeral, coughing and clinging to the back of the church. Sean never made eye contact with anyone. He was the man I was waiting for under the clock outside Cleary's department store. The one who got delayed and stood me up as the rest of the city rushed past and the sky darkened. My breath, small clouds of mist as I stayed like an idiot waiting for him, scanning every face that went past, hands deep in my pockets, one touching the watch he gave me that I kept hidden there. "First a watch, then a ring," as my mother used to say. My granny always laughing at her for saying that, because in the countryside, where Gran was originally from, the gift of a watch was calling time on your relationship. Granny had a point. When the street lamps came on, I finally gave in to the cold and picked up my heavy bag. Past curfew, I took the small alleyway shortcut, desperate to make up some time. Never even saw my attacker coming. My life ended quickly in a burst of pain and terror, and then everything went dark, till it wasn't. Here is the thing they don't tell you. The feelings you have when you die are those you carry with you in the afterlife, but they're heightened. In life, I waited for him, so in death, I reasoned that once we were united, we would go wherever we were supposed to go together. It didn't take long. His cough, it transpired, was tuberculosis. Not that I believed that. I thought he was dying of a broken heart. I even haunted him, trying to let him know I was waiting for him, that it would be okay. Somehow, however, I only succeeded in scaring his landlady's cat. Then he died. And, as in life, he stood me up again. He didn't wait. Sean, it turns out, wasn't the type. He passed on at once. I admit it, I grew bitter after that. Alone, I became an empty husk of my former self. The living torment me, heightened feelings cutting me like a knife, reminding me I have no emotions of my own left compared to their endless passions, their dewy flesh, their bright dreams radiating from them as they pass by, not noticing the ghosts crowded all around them in the city. I retreat, avoid. I begin to inhabit the darker parts of the city that have fallen into recession. Decades pass. I measure them by the ticking of the watch Sean gave me. It followed me along with my bag, which contained the tools of my trade as a court stenographer. I could lose neither, no matter how I tried. I stuck to only one routine during this time: an annual trip to the church on the day I died. The first place I saw Sean at: Whitefriars, the place I thought we would be wed at. Instead, the place we're both buried from. The pews almost empty as I listen to the priest's sermon, and it pierces my heart, as if he was speaking only to me and not the dwindling congregation of the living. "Give, and it will be given to you." Those words were the ones that led me to eventually find the Bureau. The thought wouldn't leave me. Could I give something that could end this drifting existence? It made me look around at the other husks that were walking beside the living. Ghosts like myself, clinging to the customs we had and a lifelong ended. All of us stuck for different reasons. Extreme emotions anchoring us to a place we should have left long ago. Flies on flypaper. While others are mourned but move on. What if I could do a measure of good? Something to unstick the others like me. Perhaps then too it would be given to me. Release. In my old life in the courts, I remembered the look witnesses have after testimony, almost as if by sharing their story and having it documented, it had given them an ability to let go of the past. Hope washes over me. I could try. That is how I began my second career, in the afterlife, as a stenographer for ghosts. The thing that has made me important enough for you to interview. I joined the Bureau in the 1960s, and have been here for 58 years. 17, going on 105. A specialist in recording deaths by violent means, detailing the events till the inevitable day that the perpetrator turns up. Not everyone deserves a happy ever after. Let's hope you never have to meet me.